This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello friends, welcome to Inside Commodity Futures for today, March 9th. My name is John Payne. I'll be joined shortly by Craig Turner, both of us senior market advisors here at Daniels Trading in Chicago. Today's theme of the day is going to be WASDE report, stronger than the expected crude oil markets as we enter the spring. We'll talk a little bit about the feeder cattle. So before I get started, I'll touch real quickly on the WASDE. Before Craig comes in here, we had the USDA release its monthly report this morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. Not a real highly expected number as far as bringing in volatility. We didn't see any changes from the USDA in corn or wheat as far as the U.S. carryout goes. They did raise the carryout for soybeans just slightly as far as the U.S. stocks go. And moving on to the world, probably where the bullish part of the report stood, we saw corn come in at 207 million metric tons, which is a little bit below the lowest trade guess. On soybeans, we saw it come in at 78, about 2 million metric tons lower than the average guess there. And on wheat, right in the middle of the range there. But it did break a 33-month streak of higher world ending stocks on wheat. So maybe that's the start of a trend. So I'll bring in Craig Turner. Craig, thanks for joining me today. What did you think of the report today?
I thought it was, nothing really happened. There wasn't a lot of changes. I think the corn and wheat numbers weren't changed at all by the USDA. And you know, with soybeans, we are up. Ending stocks are up 10 million, you know, from 450 million to the end, projected for the end of the year, now going to be at 460 million bushels of soybeans. So, I mean, it was a real snoozer. I know maybe some of the world-ending stocks came down a little bit, but a little bit. So maybe just a tad supportive of prices. But I think, the March WASDE, not a big deal. You know, and looking forward, you know, we're going to have the end of the month, we'll have the stocks report and the planting intentions, which will be a bigger newsmaker.
Sure.
April WASDE, you know, maybe we'll see some export changes. And then really the next big WASDE was actually the May one, because that's when you start to see the USDA do the new crop projections. And that's when the market really gets to start speculating on what new crop should be based on that. So those are my takeaways. I don't think the WASDE is going to impact the market much. And well, we're up or down a couple of pennies either way for the three big markets.
Yeah, and I think both of us are a little bit surprised that corn's being left behind here. We've seen wheat and soybeans up. Five of the six last few days. I mean, beans themselves up 30 cents, wheat up 20 off those lows there, which has moved pretty quickly, and the corn just can't seem to pop its head and stay above 360 front month, 380 new crop. So I don't know if that's spreading or you just think maybe it's fatigue with the longs here, farmers selling, probably a little bit of mix of all.
It is really interesting. We were talking about this before we came on. Soybeans have a story. You know, we hit lows around 850, 855. Then we saw some short covering. The real in Brazil strengthened. We saw exports being shifted over or being, you know, coming to the United States for beans. And you know, you can understand why there was that rally over the past, let's say, five trading sessions. You know, with wheat, there's been issues in India.
Australia.
Oh, Australia, and also in the United States, we've had some warmer weather. Some of the wheat has come, out of dormancy, and now that if we get a freeze, that they're more suspect to winter kill. So you can see short covering and some buying heading into that. With corn, it's been tough because you're looking for a story for corn. And, you know, the story can be, well, maybe it should follow beans and wheat a little bit. You know, maybe it's because we've had a little bit of a spike in the energy prices. Maybe that should be beneficial, you know, from a ethanol standpoint or a biodiesel standpoint. But it's discouraging to see corn not up as much, not much of a follower. And, you know, you haven't seen much fundamental news for corn the same that way you have for beans and wheat.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. The green shoots, so to speak, down here are good ethanol margins for guys. Talked to a couple ethanol producers today who were pretty enthusiastic about prices and what they're seeing as far as exports go. That could be a little bit detrimental to the feed story, though, as you know, the byproduct of the ethanol is more DDGs coming out, so that kind of dwarfs a little bit of the market for feed out west. But you know, we've seen the basis fall essentially in South America all week in corn. FOB basis down in the port of New Orleans isn't much better than it was, you know, really a couple of months ago. So I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't discount a rally here, but just from the guys I talked to, and I mean, you and I both in the same boat as far as talking to producers, very few don't have grain. I don't feel that too, and it just doesn't feel to me like the front end of the curve is going to get a whole lot of help on a rally. I certainly think 370, 380 is in the cards, but to get up to that $4 level, I think you're going to need some of these end users to really panic and want to buy. And with the way the global balance sheets look, it just doesn't feel like that's something they need to be doing right now.
Also, there's a lot of corn out there in storage. I mean, not you talk to people and the farmers, and you know some of them will have both, you know, beans and corn, but you know it's you find a lot of instances where they just have their corn left and they're sold out of beans. So that's an interesting fact too. So maybe, you know, when we do get rallies in corn or we do go up, you know, we're seeing more of a selling in the old crop corn. It's going to be tough, you know, how we're going to work that off. You know, it could be a multi-year deal where we need to actually see either less acres or a weather issue. The weather issue would help out this year if we could, you know, which would be lower yield or cut back acres. If not, you know, it's, you know, just from a supply side standpoint, we're almost looking not this year's crop, but the year following crop on acres that have to come back down, you know, to really get it going. So we'll see what happens. You know, there's been also a lot of talk on inputs costs coming down. You know, we've seen that happen in the energy markets. We're seeing it happen in the corn markets. You know, the break evens are coming down, you know, compared to in years past. So, you know, and the cost per acre for producing some of these things. So it's going to be, I don't know, the whole industry seems to be adjusting for lower prices, you know, for the time being.
Well, we've seen a little bit of a rally here in some of the periphery markets. You know, you look at the Brazilian real, for one. You know, the currency markets have seemed to kind of shut down that strong dollar story, at least in the short term. We saw President Don't make me say his name. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. Is it Rousseff?
I think
that was arrested down in Brazil this week, and really saw the currency jump on that. So you and I both read a lot of fundamental data, whether it be Goldman Sachs or some of the bigger banks, down to you know the boutique guys out in the country who are writing their own newsletters. And everybody's pretty much that I find is on the same page, selling old crop beans on these breaks above $9, and you know looking to sell corn on any rally they possibly can. I worry a little bit about the bean, you know, technical resistance here. If that gets taken out, and like I said, I don't talk to a lot of producers with beans in the bin still.
Right, me neither.
I could see a little run there. I that would be the market I would be maybe the most bullish on at this point, just due to the fact that I think, you know, supply seems to be pretty, I don't know, in flux globally. Right. And even though there isn't a weather story down in South America, there is a big lineup to get beans out. And we saw a nice you know, flash sale this week from China as far as purchasing more beans. So I wouldn't discount a rally. A lot of what we're seeing on the fundamental side isn't taking into account the currency changes that might happen in Brazil. And if those would rally, that would be kind of my surprise market, followed then by wheat. I think wheat has some legs as well, just due to the fact that this is the time of the year usually those big exporters, or importers rather, will come in and buy. So two heavily shorted markets right now, both sitting below moving average support, or resistance rather, but if we catch a dime move in beans, you might see some shorts thinking about either jumping out or maybe adding to the long side. I don't know. You see the same thing?
Well, I'm looking at a chart on May Beans right now, and it looks like about 890 is a significant resistance level. And I might be wrong, but I think the 200-day moving average is right around 892.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. If you close above that, then you got to think, you know, the next target up would be $9. And if you blow through $9, then 915. And that would be in May Beans. And that could happen. I mean, going to 915 in May Beans off of, you know, maybe something that happens to do with the currency down in Brazil, and you see some more sales shifted from, you know, South America to the United States, and there are big lineups down there.
Sure.
You know, and we don't have a lot of farmers with it on hand. You could see that, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know, November beans, same deal. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, you know, $9, if we break through that, 910, and then 925. I think asking for anything above that, you really need something to happen in the market. Mm-hmm. And also, for all the farmers I work with, if all of a sudden we're November beans that were at 925, there are a lot of phone calls going out saying like, hey, listen, you know, you're above break even now. We don't, you know, we could have a perfect growing season, and you know, before you know it, we're testing $8 by harvest. You know, do you want to hedge something here? You know, call the elevator, use the board, whatever it may be, whatever it is you do. And I think you will see that if we get to 925, unless, you know, it's the planting intention report comes out and says, hey, you know what, we're only planting 75 million acres of beans, which, you know, no one thinks is going to happen. So, you know, in that case, then that the whole industry is rocked. But, like, you know, we're probably going to plant 83, 84 million beans. They're going to start calculating, what is it, 45, 46 bushels per acre. Yep. And, you know, just based on that alone, people are going to be talking about, you know, by harvest, I don't know, 850, 825 beans, something like that.
Yeah, so they kept those ranges intact for what they were believing. I mean, if you're looking for a little bit of a weather play on beans, it would be good weather. Good U.S. weather might encourage more folks to plant corn.
Yep.
And maybe we lose a little acreage there. So far, nothing really to watch. We're still a month away from really needing to watch much. Down south planting in Texas hasn't gotten off to a great start, but they have a lot of time down there. And the Delta, one rumor I did hear, I don't know if you've heard this at all, but a couple of folks, landlords, having a hard time finding leases or folks to plant just because the prices aren't reflecting anything that they can make money off of down there. So that's kind of the first, I say, green shoot from lower prices that we're starting to hear. But I still think that net acreage number for corn will be above 90 by the time it's all said and done. And then it'll be about, you know, weather. So Craig and I'll keep touching base on that, and, you know, following these markets from a fundamental standpoint. And other markets that say fundamentally are weak, that really haven't been trading that way, is crude oil. Are you surprised by this move we've seen the last couple of weeks?
Well, we have been, you know, short. You know, we were due for some kind of rally and short covering. I think, you know, the one thing that was interesting about crude is, you know, Saudi Arabia and Russia was reported last week, got together, and they're going to talk about, you know, production levels. And, you know, now there's a meeting set for March 20th where it's going to be in Russia, with Russia, Saudi Arabia, and some of the bigger OPEC nations are going to get together and they'll talk. Now, they're just talking, and no one really thinks anything's going to, you know, come of it in terms of production freezes or cuts. But just the fact that this is even going on now, where it was pretty much unheard of 6 months ago, where Saudi Arabia couldn't even get Russia to talk to them, it is interesting. And if you combine Russia and Saudi Arabia and OPEC, you get to about 70% of the world's production. So if they were some way to, you know, put together like a super OPEC or something like that, you know, then all of a sudden you can start to figure out, you know, okay, maybe if they do a freeze or they do, you know, make cuts, maybe crude can go higher and they really could do something with the supply. But then again, you got to remember, even with the old OPEC, when they did control supply, everyone cheated. Like, everyone went over their quotas. You know,
just prices rally, right?
Yeah.
So
we'll see. So I understand. I mean, you can imagine all the shorts and all the downward pressure for the past year and a half now. And now here we are at 30, and you know, we're rallying. So, I mean, the 200-day moving average for April crude comes in at 42. The next big resistance, I think, comes in at 40. You know, that was the price level from back in December. And then 42 is the 200-day moving average. And if we went from 38 now to 42, I really wouldn't be all that surprised. I think at some point, though, when you get up that high, I mean, if you're a producer and your bank is financing your operations and they say, hey, listen, you're now profitable by a good margin, you'd start selling, you know, in December. You know, start locking in prices, mm-hmm. because what if we keep on having higher and higher production? I think we will see that just from like the banking and the commercial side. But yeah, I would not be surprised if we saw crude go up another couple of dollars from here.
Well, like I said, we have seen the rally there. So shorter term, we'll watch the continue to watch the inventory numbers, although they really haven't mattered. Today was another big build, and in the crude oil side, it didn't care. Although gasoline, as we all can understand, gasoline comes off, folks drive more. So, lot going on here, and I would say folks who are trading crude oil can probably reach over to the grain side and say, fundamentals, while they matter, money flow might be more important right now. So we'll keep an eye on things from the crude oil side. Any other markets you're looking at right now?
Well, speaking of crude, I mean, I keep an eye on natural gas. Okay. If you look at April natural gas, it's not something we talk a lot, but there has been a lot of volume and a lot of support in this 170 area. It's been interesting. I mean, I know natural gas fundamentals are very bearish, but I don't know. Traders, take a look at that chart, see what you think for yourself. It's just, at one point, April natural gas was almost at 160. We didn't get close to 160. We got close to 160, didn't trade there, but it's just, I can't remember the last time we were down this low. I mean, it's just one of those things that jumped out at me on the gas side. And then in terms of the other markets that we follow a lot, me and John, we've been talking about grains and energy, but livestock is the other one. And we've been looking at live cattle, April around 137, 138 is a resistance level for cattle. I think it's about like 137.80. If you look at it on the charts, and we'll see if that holds. We tested it yesterday and I made a test of it today. We didn't break through. We did see some cash prices yesterday, I think in Texas at around 137. So that's why we saw the rally, the big rally yesterday, in the cattle. So we'll see. If we break above 138 in cattle, you can make the case April could make a run at 140 and maybe at a high end of 142. But if we reverse here, all of a sudden 135 and 133 are back in play. And as far as the feeders go, it's the same deal. May feeders again are also right at this resistance line of about 158.50 to 159, and if they break above that, they could go to 165. If they fail, we could go back to 150. So, or 155. So it's definitely got to keep an eye on the cattle markets. I do say there's one observation that I've noticed with the cattle. We've been very volatile the past year or two, and those option prices, the volatility, has made the options expensive. And I think there's a possibility that over the next couple of months, now that we're getting more of a normal supply and demand, that the markets won't go up and down as much as they used to. I think the options might be overpriced for where, because the options are priced based on past volatility, but future volatility might not be as – I don't think we're going to get these 20 and 30-point swings anymore in – feeders over the course of a couple of months. And with cattle, I don't think we're going to get these $10 to $15 swings over the course of a month or two like we did either when we were going up to those records last year or when we were coming back down from those all-time highs in the past 12 months. So that's something just to keep in mind with for the option traders out there. I think the options are getting expensive.
That's a good way. If you guys have any questions on how to play that, give us a ring. We can talk about different volatility spreads. There's a lot of different ways to do that. I think it's important to note, too, on cattle as far as volatility goes, much of the volatility was priced in due to the drought that happened in 12, 13, and the cattle industry really was decimated by that. And so it's taken them a couple of years to get back up on their feet. And now I think Craig's onto something there, that these big swings from 200 down to 130, back up to 160 to 140.
That's crazy.
It's very difficult to hedge. Local prices aren't really matching up, and I think at some point you're going to start to see some supply come online here. So big next couple of weeks as far as getting ready for the reports. At the end of the month, huge numbers coming out as far as stocks, planted acreage. You'll also get livestock's quarterly numbers along with hog quarterly numbers. And hogs is another sneaky market, breaking over that kind of December high from the end of last year just today. So a lot of good things happening on the long side in the livestock markets. Grains, not so much, but we're coming into that time of the year. So you stick with Craig and I over the next couple of months. We'll guide you through the planning process and keep you in the loop on the South American harvest and in the loop on all of these different reports. So, Craig, as always, thanks for joining me today. Anything to add?
No, pleasure to be here, and we'll talk to everyone next week.
All right, thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great one.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.